Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life, and we are glad to be with you live here in the studio, as we always are, every Sunday afternoon for the last 9+ years. And
wow.
Yes, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida. Along with me is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, right here in the studio.
Hey, everyone.
And one of our team, radio team members from our Indiana gang, Cindy Logan, will be joining us in a little while. So wherever you are today, I am sure that you have heard the devastating news. We are live, as always, so this is not a show that has been rerun. It's one we're doing right now. I'm sure you've heard the devastating news of the massacre, the biggest American massacre in history here. That has occurred just a few hours ago, right here within a few minutes of us in Clearwater over in Orlando. And we are devastated by this news, as is America, I am sure. We just heard the remarks of our president, President Obama, and how he expressed his feelings and the feelings of the nation about this awful atrocity. You know, it's more than an act of terror. He called it an act of terror and an act of hatred. And I'm glad he used that second word, Pastor Jim, because this has been targeted at the LGBT community, obviously, to go into a nightclub that is mainly made up of people that are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. And honestly, you got to think this is definitely intentional, and it was an intentional affront at this segment of society.
I agree. I've struggled with this all day because I've seen the reactions on Facebook, and some have been very good. Some have just been some. Very plainly angered me. It's like, well, they got what they deserved.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Which, you know, I compare that to the prophet Jonah, who got mad. First of all, he didn't want to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent.
That's right.
Then when he got there and finally told them to repent, and they did, he got mad because God still didn't wipe Nineveh off the face of the earth. And I keep feeling like a lot of people were kind of feeling that way. Well, you know, and no matter, you know, I know a lot of people feel that being gay is an affront to God. And, okay, you know what? You can have that opinion. That's fine. But even if you hold that opinion,
right,
God still had mercy on the Ninevites.
That's exactly right.
They trampled Israel.
Right.
And God still had mercy on them.
Because he's a God of mercy and compassion.
He is. He wants no one
That's right.
to perish, but all to be saved.
And he's not enlisting forces to go wipe out segments of our society. That comes from the devil. That doesn't come from God.
Exactly. We need more Jeremiahs.
Yes.
Who wept over the sins of his people.
Sure.
Even when God told him not to.
Right.
Jeremiah prayed for his people.
Exactly.
You know, God said, no, don't even do it anymore. I'm done with
right.
them. And yet Jeremiah kept interceding for Israel.
Absolutely. And And, you know, this segment of society, of which we have a lot of members in our church that are a part of this segment of society, it has been maligned and almost demonized, I suppose, through the years for so long. And, you know, people have a right to be who they are and who God created them to be. And so it's just a serious attack against our civil liberties. It's a serious attack against people's independence to be who they are and what they feel is their God-given identity, let's say, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I know even now there are people out there who are saying, but the Bible says,
right,
you know, they deserve to be stoned.
Right.
Okay, fine. You want to put us all under the law? Stop eating shellfish.
Right. Exactly.
Stop wearing clothes of cotton and polyester.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you can't have, you can't pull out that without the others. And, you know, and we don't, certainly don't have time to go into it all here. Sometime maybe we can devote some radio time to that.
Sure, sure.
Certainly we have our, you know, we have the CDs on that teaching what the Bible says about that. But it's just, well, it's kind of frightening. And
oh, yes.
I'll be honest, all day I've periodically just had to, in between crying, I've had to pray, God, don't let anger and bitterness and hatred take root in my heart because
right.
of this.
Right.
Because it's easy to say, well, you know, the shooter was, an Islamic extremist with ties to ISIS. He still needed our prayers.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, there's no one who doesn't need our prayers, no matter who they are, whether they're the head of ISIS, a presidential candidate, or some Joe Schmo off the street.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody needs a touch from God. They need to be prayed for.
They do, and they need to encounter the God who is a God of love mm-hmm. and compassion and mercy. And sadly, and this is not a political show, and so we're not going there with political parties and opinions today, but what we do have going on in the nation is such a climate of hatred with so many remarks against a lot of people groups in this country. And, you know, Jesus was not like that. His ministry was one of love. He came to show us the Father. And 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And that's the nature of the God we serve. And some people say, well, what about the Old Testament when people groups were annihilated and all that? It's not the same thing at all. But you want to address that for somebody who may be asking that question right now, Pastor Jim?
Exactly. That was a different covenant.
Yes.
And same God.
Right.
But in a sense, they were dealing with externals there. Whereas now we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. We talked about
Amen.
This on Wednesday, living
yes.
inside of us.
Amen.
God said, I will write my laws
on
your heart.
Amen.
Whereas under the old covenant, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they had to basically get rid of the enemies that lived there. And God, the reason why was because they would be a snare.
Right.
With their idolatrous practices, they would
right.
be a snare. Now we have the Holy Spirit living inside of
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
We don't have to go out and destroy all the
Absolutely
false
not.
Religions because we've got Almighty God living inside
Amen.
Of us.
Amen. Amen.
And that's where the change has to take place
that's right.
anyway.
And that's where the change has to take place in the hearts of our country, our nation, and around the world. And that is that the climate of hatred should be our focus to stand against that and to promote love for all people, regardless of whether you're tall, dark, handsome, short, fat, ugly, whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? No matter what the differences in people, and there are many differences in all of us around the world, we should be promoting the climate of love and acceptance and forgiveness. That's exactly what we should be promoting.
And no matter how much you disagree with someone, their religion, their lifestyle, whatever, that does not give you the right.
That's right.
To take their life.
Right.
That does not give you the right to force them to do something against their will.
Right.
It does give you the right to pray for them.
Amen.
To pray that God would touch them. If you disagree with even with what I'm saying, then pray for me.
Exactly.
You know what? I can always use prayer.
That's right.
You know? So that's where I stand. That's where I'm at.
And I really believe it's so interesting that today we are talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. We're taking that on to another dimension today. And in our series, Right at the Fork, where we're talking about those times in our lives where we have decisions to make, it makes you wonder, did that guy have even a second thought about what he was about to do? But, you know, so often in our lives, we have that opportunity to make the correct decision in our lives about whatever it might be, or to just follow our impulses based on bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, being mad and angry and enraged with somebody because they aren't the way we are or don't think the way we think. And, you know, it's time that our nation be called to repentance, and not just our nation, but around the world, that the climate of hatred, no matter in what form, whether it's religious or whether it's discrimination because of behavior or whatever the case may be, that climate of hatred be seriously looked at, and that we make every effort to change that in our society and around the globe, and instead have an attitude and a climate of tolerance, love, acceptance, forgiveness for people who don't see things the way we might see them.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people,
yes,
not the heathen,
right,
not the unsaved,
yes,
but if my people, if the people who say they believe in Jesus,
right,
will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
Exactly.
You know, John, in his first letter, says, you know, if we say we haven't sinned, we're a liar.
Right.
We're making God out to be a liar. So it's the believers, those that call themselves believers, that need to hear this, to turn from their wicked ways. Then God will hear, he'll forgive, and he'll heal the land.
Exactly.
But it has to start with the church.
It does, because so often believers have such a platform, whether they be in a major church or whatever, or have some voice of authority. And so often I have found through all the years in ministry, Pastor Jim, that very few people really read their Bible. Okay. They really don't know what the Bible says. They take from the pulpit, they take from angry individuals or people that have an agenda to raise money against, say, the gay rights and all of that kind of thing. There's a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people that are quote unquote ministers of the gospel who are really ministers of hatred and agendas that bring money in that foster hatred. And if you look around the political scene right now, there's a lot of hatred going on everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And it's just very sad.
Yeah, on both sides.
It's very sad.
On all sides.
So, you know, we are not here to make a political statement. We are here today to actually talk about being led by the Spirit of God in everything that we encounter in our lives. And we are here to pray for the victims, families, the ones that are still in the hospital, the ones that are injured. We know at this point 50 are dead. We don't know if that total will go up, but we want to begin this show today by just honoring those victims who were killed mercilessly and senselessly and in a way that is appalling, horrific. There's no words to say for anything like that. And this casualty, this set of circumstances just adds to the many that we've been seeing in the last several years around the world, actually, not just here in the United States. So, dear Lord, we come to you right now and we ask you, please, dear God, intervene in the lives of the families, bringing comfort, bringing your presence into this very difficult and awful situation that our nation is facing right now that just happened last night. Lord, we ask that you, the Spirit of comfort and consolation and peace, would minister into these families, into these lives. Lord, we just ask you, we plead, we humble ourselves and come before you. We ask you, Lord, that the climate of hatred be pulled down in this nation and around the world, that instead there would be, it would be replaced by the love that you have for us, each of us, God, no matter what our differences are, that this climate of hatred would be replaced by the love of God,
yes,
for each other and for you, Lord, and that people would indeed use this opportunity to seek you and your presence in their lives, and to realize that they need you to get through these awful, difficult times. So, Lord, we just implore you. We come before you. We ask you humbly to work in hearts of the people of our nation and around this globe, to change attitudes, to draw them to yourself, to cause peace to reign, to cause love and joy to come into people's lives, to cause purpose, passion, to cause the desire to be what God wants each of us to be, to so reign. I am reminded of 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the world, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. Lord, as you look around this earth for hearts that are completely yours, may you find more and more and more that see the hatred for what it is, renounce it, and get on board with your message of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. It's interesting because this morning, before I even knew this event had happened, I was picking songs for today's show. And this is the show, this is the song that the Lord led me to start the show with, not even knowing what had happened. Let the Peace of God Reign by the group Hillsong. Let's all get this down on the inside of us today.
Father of life, draw me closer. Oh,
praise God. Love that song, and it fits so perfectly right here. Let the peace of God, let it rain, let it rain. Amen. John 14, verse 25, 26, and 27. Not where I intended to start the show, but where we're headed.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Jesus said this in the final few hours before he went to the cross. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. Peace. I love it. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset and don't be distraught. And it goes without saying that especially the families and friends of the people that have just lost their lives in this massacre in Orlando are going to be bereft and feeling abandoned. They're going to be full of questions. And what if my child or what if my loved one had not been there last night and all of that? And in all of these life circumstances, when we wish so much that we could turn back the clock and change something in our lives or those around us, and when we know that can't happen, then we have to move forward, and we're assured by Jesus himself in these words that when he went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, that he did send the Holy Spirit, the friend, who in the Greek is called Parakletos, and that Parakletos means he sent the advocate, the one that would be the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby. There is not one of us in this nation not affected and touched by these events of the last several hours. But all of us can draw on the strength of the Holy Spirit, the friend, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Pastor Jim, do you want to comment on this? Because what Jesus left us was peace. That's what he left us. In the midst of the pain and the horrific events, we can have peace somehow.
Well, exactly. But it's through the Holy Spirit.
Amen, it is.
Because Jesus plainly says, not as the world gives,
right,
give I to you.
That's right.
But his peace, his eternal.
Exactly.
Everlasting, infinite,
right,
peace. And I think it's, you know, the word in Hebrew is shalom.
Yes.
And that doesn't just mean peace. It's broader than that. It means wholeness.
Wholeness.
So my wholeness,
right,
I give you. You, God doesn't want us broken, whether it's by grief, hatred, anger.
Right.
Sin of any type. He doesn't want us broken. He wants us whole.
Exactly.
And Jesus said, my peace, my wholeness, I'm leaving with you.
That's right.
Not like the world gives. I mean, you know, the world has all sorts of imitation,
right,
peacemaker things. You know, it has its own version of meditation and you know, ways to find wholeness and peace.
Right.
But Jesus says, I'm not giving you that.
Yeah, that's not what we're about. Yeah.
I'm giving you infinite,
right,
perfect, I guess, peace.
Right.
Perfect wholeness. It's not, I kind of look at it this way, what the world gives us is a patch job.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
Trying to patch up the brokenness.
Right.
What Jesus does is completely rebuild us from the ground up.
Absolutely.
And you know, he makes us new.
Right.
We're not patchwork. We're new.
And, you know, it's supernatural, PJ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, in our own thinking and in our own reasoning, we can't imagine how the relatives, friends, spouses of these that have just died so horrifically, how they can ever recover, how they can ever go on another day, you know? It's supernatural because God can give us strength. my mother's favorite verse was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And really, that's what Jesus is saying here. I'm going to leave you supernatural peace. I'm going to leave you the ability to make the right decisions based on your gut of peace. And I'm going to cause you to realize when you don't feel right about things and when you have that sense of, okay, that's what I should do, or that's what I should, how I should react and behave. I can't imagine these people that are so filled with hatred and, you know, all the awful stuff that we've seen, all that climate of hatred. How can they be at ease and at peace in their lives? They can't be.
No.
They're constantly at war, you know, chaos and you know.
Well, hatred has to be directed.
It has to be.
Just like love.
That's a good point.
Hatred has to be directed.
Excellent point.
And the more the hatred, the more actively you're going to try and seek an object to act that out upon. So it's like you're just looking around all the time for somebody to hate.
Yes.
And you're right. It is chaotic. It's almost like you're driven.
Right.
To something.
Absolutely,
like that.
It is.
And it is a supernatural. I believe it's definitely a spiritual thing.
Absolutely. The intense hatred that fueled Adolf Hitler.
Demonic.
Okay, so the climate of hatred is one that is of the evil one of this world,
exactly.
Which is Satan, the evil one, the liar, the accuser of the brethren,
the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
That's exactly right.
And that's exactly what he tried to do in Orlando.
Yes, exactly.
And we can let the evil one have the victory.
Right.
Or we can stand up and say, no, in Jesus' name, we're just not going to take it.
Amen.
Satan, you can't win in this situation.
No.
God, we're just believing God, you are going to turn this around.
Exactly.
And use this to spark a revival.
Absolutely.
You know, this is a turning point in Jesus' name.
Amen. And you know, when we talk about the climate of hatred, the word that just came to me is also the climate of fear.
Well, I was reading.
Go ahead.
In John, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, do not let your hearts
be troubled.
Neither be afraid.
That's right.
Neither let you be afraid. Because, hatred means you're probably deathly afraid of something.
Absolutely.
Something is going to get you.
Fear is absolutely present there.
And so you have to hate it and attack it.
Right.
Definitely there's fear. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled.
Yes.
Neither let them be afraid.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you know, that's a promise we can bank on.
We can bank on that.
You know, Jesus said, don't be afraid. The Comforter is here.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he was predicting the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is here living within us.
Yes.
The Comforter, the Strengthener, the Standby, the
All
Advocate, the Intercessor lives inside of me. And I don't have to be afraid. I mean, and I'll admit, given where I work.
Right.
There was a little bit of fear this morning. I thought, oh,
right,
that can be an issue. But then I thought, no, you know what? The Spirit lives inside of me, and I'm not going to worry about it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, we have a technical issue. No big deal.
Oh, okay.
They told me it was going to happen. There's an instrument here that's doing something that it shouldn't today. But that's okay. They can hear us fine, even though we have that little beep in our headphones. You know, when it comes to the fact that Jesus came willingly to this earth, walked the earth among people who hated him, and actually stood up and said, guys, you're of your father the devil. What you want to do is cause problems all the time. You just want to pick fights. You're not people filled with love. He called the highest religious leaders people of the devil, did he not?
He did. You know, Jesus just had this knack for ticking people off. But he did. I mean, he saw it like it was, and he called it like it was.
Exactly.
And he said, yeah, you're of your father, the devil.
Right.
You know, because the religious leader said, well, we're children of Abraham.
Right.
Therefore, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's like, you know, I'm covenant by birth.
By birth.
And that's not what counts. It's covenant by rebirth.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus was saying. No, you got the wrong father.
Right.
And, you know, they were very, very upset with him because he said, your father's the devil.
Exactly.
And you want to murder me because you're just like your father, who was a murderer from the beginning.
Exactly.
I mean, what's the next thing after the fall of Adam and Eve when they had their kids? What's the next thing we read? Cain slew Abel.
Right.
From the
murder
beginning,
came in from the beginning. So the base nature of the devil is to kill, steal, destroy. As we quote that, we probably quote that verse every show.
Almost.
John 10:10, the words of Jesus, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and to give it abundantly. So Jesus' whole program was about life, and it was also about exposing evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was not about tolerating evil. It was saying he was exposing hypocrisy. He was exposing lies. He was exposing people that were simply religious and looked good and had a nice little outfit on to make them look real spiritual. But their hearts were, as he said, like dead man's bones,
right,
or like a grave. Their hearts were not full of love. Their hearts were not full of God and the presence of God,
right.
You know?
They were whitewashed on the outside.
Yeah, tombs.
Whitewashed
Whoa.
Tombs, but inside Woo. Full of dead men's bones.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty daggone strong, Jesus.
Well, yeah, and he said in one other place, you strain at a gnat.
Pick at little things,
pick
yes.
at those little times to make sure that the gnat didn't get in your drink, which would defile it under the law, supposedly. But he said you ignore the weightier matters of the law, justice,
right.
mercy.
Right. God looks at our hearts. That's what he looks at. You know, why was David a man after God's own heart? Not because he was perfect, because he wasn't. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. Other things he did. And yet God said, he's a man after my own heart. Well, God is looking for our hearts to be so in tune with the Spirit of God that we don't have room for hatred.
Right.
You know, I want to say here, because I think this is a very compelling argument, in all the things that Jesus talked about in his 33 years on this earth, 3 years of ministry, the Bible records not one comment, zero, about homosexuality or any of that, about being gay, bisexual, etc. Jesus, we have nothing. We have no sermon about it. We have no warning that you're going to hell from Jesus. You know, none of that. And I think that's a huge point here, PJ, that we need to make so that people realize that some of the old verses they're hanging their hat on did come from the Old Testament and the Jewish code of law. And that's what it was about.
Well, yeah.
And that was procreation, a lot of it.
Well, and it was idolatry.
Right.
I mean, I think it's what God showed me one time is those clobber verses in Leviticus 18. Right after that, it says, don't give your children, don't burn your children in sacrifice to Moloch.
Right. Really?
Yeah. And it's like, that's idolatry. So
right.
That whole chapter
is about that.
If you study it, you find out if you were going to worship Astarte or Ishtar, her Babylonian name, or Venus, as she was known in Greek circles. If you were a woman, you had to prostitute yourself. If you were a devotee of that goddess,
right,
you had to go to the temple and become a prostitute and have sex with whoever approached you, no matter who it was, your husband, your father, your brother. It didn't matter.
Golly.
You had to have sex with them. And if a man wanted to do that, be a devotee, watch yourself, you had become a eunuch.
Whoa.
And you became a prostitute in the temple. And if anyone approached you, you had to give yourself up to that person.
Wow.
That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about what we generally consider homosexuality to be today.
Right.
It's talking about ritual, idolatrous practices.
Right. That were so totally against love for people and love for God. And so, you know, I think that when we come to this point where we have a national tragedy like we're experiencing right now, I think it gives us an opportunity to examine our hearts, Pastor Jim. Do we believe what Jesus says in the Word? Do we concentrate on the red letters in the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the words of Jesus. And there's a few other red letters here and there in the book of Revelation, whatever. But for the most part, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are what was recorded of what Jesus talked about. He talked about loving your enemies. He talked about being people of character that loved God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And if you really sincerely love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, then the next part of that verse, he said, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
How can you hurt people around you?
Right. And we talked about that parable, too.
Yes.
And a Wednesday night Bible study, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because the person that asked that question wanted to justify himself. Well, just who is my neighbor?
Right.
Who do I have to be nice to?
Right.
And, you know, and I think, too, I mean, you look at Paul's letters. There's nothing nasty in Paul's letters.
No.
Those references, and let me just put this out there. If you have questions about those references in Paul's letters, you can email me, PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. I'll be more than happy to answer your questions. I've done it before a few times. I'm more than happy to do it again.
Right.
Because God wants everyone to know Jesus, and we seem to throw up so many barriers. Well, first of all, you got to stop. Basically, we're telling people, and not just gays and lesbians, but everybody, you got to stop sinning before you can come to God. No.
Right.
You know, we can't expect someone to stop sinning and then come to God, because that's just not going to happen.
Right, exactly.
You come to God so that you can stop sinning.
Amen.
Without God, without Jesus in your heart, you're going to be powerless to stop sinning.
Absolutely.
I mean, Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6. Until you come to Jesus, you're powerless. Sin, you know, you're born to sin, basically.
That's exactly right.
But you're reborn not to.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And when we develop that attitude of, okay, I want to be everything God wants me to be. I don't want to displease him. I don't want to hurt others. I don't want to hurt him. And that begins to change our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to live in this peaceful state that Jesus is talking about.
Absolutely.
You know,
we want to. Well, and that's, you know, we've talked about it. That's it. A measure of how we know we're on the right path, we've chosen a right path, is we have that peace.
Right.
You know, we're not all in chaos.
Yes.
And like you mentioned earlier, people who are so busy hating are just full of chaos.
That's right.
And, you know, Jesus offers so much better an alternative.
Oh, amen. Amen.
I would rather, you know, I just posted something today on my page. It was a quote on my Facebook page from A.W. Tozer. I'd rather be standing alone with God going his direction. I'm not quoting exactly. Than going with the crowd toward destruction.
Oh, amen. Amen.
And, yeah, that's so true. And
yeah.
God has got to be the motivator in our lives. Our walking with Jesus has got to be the motivation. Our being filled with the Spirit
Amen.
Has got to be our motivation.
Amen.
Because that's going to take care of all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, there are those people out there that like to twist the Scripture.
Sure.
Well, right here, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth.
All truth. Yes.
Get into the Word and stay with the Word.
Exactly.
You can't go wrong.
Well, that's the whole key right here. And we're going to talk more about that after this next song. But I think that when we are faced as a nation and as a community with the atrocities of the last several hours, we have choices to make. Are we going to become bitter and resentful, as we said earlier? Are we going to want to strike out? Or are we going to be ones that are going to be prayers? God is calling his people to prayer. You know, Colossians 4:2 says, you know, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's not just occasionally send up a little one-liner, help me God in this, please, thanks. It's not like that. It's devoting ourselves to prayer. And Psalm 34, verse 14, I was going to bring out, said that we are to seek peace and pursue it.
Run after it.
Run after it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And that is all Jesus. He was called the Prince of Peace before he was ever born. In Isaiah 9:6, when the prophecy came through Isaiah 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, it said that he would be the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. That's all encompassed in Jesus, mm-hmm. the Prince of Peace. He's got peace down pat. That was his parting gift to us, peace. We got to do this song, None But Jesus, and it fits so perfectly right here. And then we've got a lot more to talk about and teach in the next few minutes by the group Hillsong, None But Jesus. But Jesus, amen. It's all about him. All about him. We have to spend our time getting to know him and learning his ways. Let's go to John 16:31-33. Jesus answered and said, "Do you finally believe?" Because the disciples were questioning what was about to happen with him going to the cross. And he said, "In fact, you're about to make a run for it." And he told them, "You know, you guys aren't going to stick around me," which is interesting. Saving your own skins and abandoning me. And isn't that what human nature does so often? "But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. And dear ones, no matter what you're going through, the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son, the Trinity, they're with us. They're right there mm-hmm. with us." And he said, "I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world." Do you want to talk about that, Pastor Jim?
Oh, I'd love to. I love that verse. In fact, I've sung it many a time.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It is a good song.
Yeah.
But that's so true because I'm just my crazy mind. You know, I think of the Lynn Anderson song, "Never Promised You a Rose Garden."
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Jesus never said,
"Yeah,
you get saved and by gosh, everything's
going to
be
perfect. Praise God.
You're just going to float your way to glory land." That's not what he said.
No.
He said, in this world, and I like what's message, in this godless world, this under this world system,
right,
you will have tribulation.
You will.
That word means in the Greek, to press, like,
yes,
like you squeeze the juice out of grapes.
Right.
It's like you're being, you know, like how they used to do that was, you know, you'd walk on the grapes.
Right.
To press out the wine. And that's what it's talking about here. It's you're going to be pressed. You're going to be stepped on. You're going to be tribulated. You're going to be
right.
hassled. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Rejoice. Because
yes.
I've overcome the world." And that's why we can do it, because he overcame the world. Otherwise, it'd be the stupidest statement in the Bible.
Exactly.
But he said, this is why you can do it, because I've overcome
I've
the
overcome.
World.
I've overcome.
I have overcome the world. And
yes.
he did that through the cross, the resurrection,
yes.
his ascension into heaven. He overcame. He's seated at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Over everything.
And that's why we can say that when we really do make choices for God and his presence in our lives, no matter how painful a situation might be that we're going through, he has that supernatural ability to come in and give us peace in the midst of our storm, supernatural ability to give us comfort, consolation, be our friend, mm-hmm. be our strengthener, be our standby, never leave us or forsake us. He has that ability to
right.
do that because he's conquered the world's effects. But we must appropriate it, Pastor Jim. This is where I think a lot of people miss the boat, because they don't realize that they have to make choices. We're right back to our theme of this series, right at the fork. Do we make the right decision at that fork in our lives? Do we make the correct decision? Do we take God's strength in the midst of our pain and struggle, or do we just bellyache?
Do we give in? Do we find our
right.
own method of dealing with it?
And some people, that's drugs and alcohol, etc.
Yeah, addiction is a good, you know.
Addiction.
Addiction
yeah.
is spawned of Satan. But it's the way a lot of people deal with it, because, you know, it does chemically, biochemically,
yes.
make
yes.
you feel better for a brief amount of time.
Right.
But then you feel worse.
It's exactly
and,
right.
And, I mean, it becomes that vicious cycle. So, yeah, we have to make those decisions. And, again, every promise we need
right.
is in the Word of God.
Oh, amen.
I mean, everything that we need is in there.
I've got to read you this. Maybe you read it today from Jesus Calling. That's a devotional book that a lot of us use. By Sarah Young. And dear audience member, if you don't have one, you can get one at Walmart or any Christian bookstore. And it's amazing. Today's devotional said this. This is what started my day. "Let me help you get through this day." This is God talking. "There are many possible paths to travel between your getting up in the morning and your lying down at night." This couldn't be more perfect for this series.
Mm-hmm.
"Stay alert to the many choice points along the way." I've been using that term. being continually aware of my presence, you will get through this day one way or the other. One way is to moan and groan, stumbling along with shuffling feet. This will get you to the end of the day eventually, but there is a better way. You can choose to walk with me along the path of peace, leaning on me as much as you need. There will still be difficulties along the way, but you can face them confidently in my strength. Thank me for each problem you encounter and watch to see how I transform trials into blessings. June 12th, from Jesus Calling by Sarah Young.
Yep, that's perfect. That's so true. We have those choices to make on how we're going to deal with what happens to us.
Right.
And, you know, that's Peter wrote, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you.
That's right.
That's so important because, I mean, as I said before, there are times I know today, anger, I want to, you know, give in to anger and be real angry but that's probably not going to solve anything.
No.
And just make me angrier. And yet, you have to understand, it's not just us who are hurting. God hurts. You know, God hurts in this.
Yes.
You know, in, what was it he said in Isaiah? In all their affliction, I was afflicted.
Right.
You know.
He feels what we feel.
He feels what we
feel. He feels the pain. Yes, he does.
And, you know, if anybody says, well, no, he can't, he's God.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus did.
Yes. Yes,
you know,
he
that
did.
Was not a painless death he took.
He became fully human while still being fully God. We can't even begin to fathom that.
Fully acquainted with sorrow.
Yes, he
a
was.
A man of grief.
Yes. He's hurting right now.
Exactly.
Even, you know that, yes.
I mean, I just want our listeners to understand that God hurts. When
Amen.
We hurt, God
yes.
hurts.
Yes, he feels what we feel.
And that's why he gave us the Comforter.
Right.
That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of truth, to live in us.
Right.
So that we could be comforted.
Absolutely.
That we could take his peace, his comfort.
Right.
And in his strength, move on.
Absolutely.
And that way it allows God to work. I mean, you know, if we just sit around and are all bitter and mumbly and moaning,
right.
What have we accomplished except sitting around being mumbly and moaning?
Oh, exactly.
And yet, if we walk with God and turn these things over to him,
oh,
he
amen.
Might use us to minister to somebody else.
Absolutely.
At the very least, we get ministered to. And there's a praise God.
Right yeah. there. When we do that, Psalm 29:11 has become one of my favorite verses during the last few years. And I've got it marked up in my each Bible. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Right there. If you just want it in one sentence, Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And I guess the question is, are you one of his people? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you invited him in? Are you one of his people that can count on this blessing mm-hmm. to receive his strength and to receive his peace? Is this for you? I mean, with all the things going on in this world, not just the events of last night, don't we all need strength and don't we all need peace?
Amen. Amen. And that's so good. I mean, he'll give strength
yeah.
to his people. He'll
yes.
bless.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
To
and
have peace. Woo!
Blessing is an empowerment.
Yes.
To And actually, it's an empowerment to shalom.
Yes.
To wholeness, to prosper.
Yes.
And he'll bless his people with peace. He will empower us.
Amen.
Enable us through the power of peace.
Oh.
And,
Ooh,
you know,
amen.
I think sometimes we think peace is, I think we think too passively about peace. And I want to explain that.
Explain that.
Well, you know, we think peace, no chaos, at rest. And that's what it is. But because of that, we are strengthened.
Right.
Just like our body needs to sleep, to rejuvenate.
Right.
We need God's peace in order for our spirit to kind of regenerate.
Absolutely.
That's why peace is a blessing, because that peace strengthens us.
Yes.
For what's ahead.
Amen. And so often we get so caught up in the restlessness of life.
That's a good term, restlessness.
Well, we aren't resting. Well, we're not sleeping. I don't know how many people tell you, especially the older they get, that they don't sleep well. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the cares that we're carrying mm-hmm. around. You know, you quoted a minute ago, 1 Peter 5, cast your care on him, for he cares for you. And I think that that's something that goes right along with all this that's going on and what this show is about today, learning to cast our cares on him and take his peace. Take it. It's a gift. Jesus said, I leave it here. It's your parting gift. You know?
I'm reminded of, and it actually had to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but what in the book, 9 o'clock in the Morning.
Yes.
Dennis and then his first wife, Alberta, when he was a priest in the Episcopal Church, he kept hearing people talk about the Holy Spirit and
right.
baptism of the Holy Spirit. And a person explained it to them, and I love this. Or maybe it was in the Holy Spirit in you that Rita had done. But anyway, if someone comes into your house and says, oh, they brought all these gifts for you, but you're worrying, you know, you're running like Martha in the kitchen
right.
doing
yeah.
all this stuff. And you can say, I've not received them yet. I've not accepted those gifts.
Right.
Well, peace is the same way.
It is.
We
yes.
just need to go unwrap it.
Right.
And,
take it.
And take it.
Yes.
Accept it from God.
Woo, that's good. That's good. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And if you have a prayer concern, we encourage you to use our free email prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Of course, the BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. We used to write it all out, but we've got it shortened. Now it's a lot easier.
Praise God.
Yeah. prayers@bohmglobal.com. This show is heard globally on the internet. Also every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on StarComRadioNetwork.com. You can hear this very show this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. StarComRadioNetwork.com. Four words, write it down, StarComRadio.
What were those four words
four
again,
words,
Pastor?
StarComRadioNetwork.com, 10 a.m. Eastern. Every Saturday and Sunday, followed by our Thursday night counseling show, life coaching show with Dr. Angel Falzoni and me. And that's Go Yard, which means hit a home run in life. So they play our Go Yard show right at noon Eastern, StarComRadioNetwork.com every weekend on Saturday and on Sunday. It airs live Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. right here on this station. We want you to use our prayer line. Pastor Jim, Betty, that was on a couple weeks ago, part of our radio team from Indiana, Shell, right here from our ministry here, three people, and somebody will pick up your prayer request, send it out to the radio team. And it's just a joy to be able to get these prayer requests, send them out, and you really encourage people to send in praise reports, right?
I do, because I keep track of those. We believe that God answers prayer.
He does.
And we want to hear when he does answer
yes.
your prayer.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's just a way, I think of Samuel and the stone, Ebenezer.
Right.
You know, thus far, the
right.
stone of help. This far, God has helped us.
Yes.
We can look back and say, you know what?
God did this
for this person. He'll do the same
Woo.
For you.
Amen. Yes.
W.